Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by the good folks over at gadgetofthemonth.com. If you've got an iPod, iPad, or iPhone, then I think you're going to want to pay them a visit over at gadgetofthemonth.com. They've got cables, they've got chargers, they've got lenses, they've got lights, they've got all the accessories you need, and maybe even a few you don't even know you want yet. Plus, they ship worldwide and have that handy-dandy 90-day satisfaction guarantee. So check them out over at gadgetofthemonth.com. But for now, enjoy the show. Recording live from somewhere, this is the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. I'm your host. My name is Scott Anderson. I am a dreamer, a storyteller, a Renaissance man, and most importantly, a nice guy trying to not finish last. Thank you oh so very much for checking out the program this week. Before we go any further, if you'd like to support the show, please rate us and review us in the world famous iTunes store. If you want to subscribe to the show so it comes to you free-o-matically, that's free and automatically every single week, you can subscribe to the show while you're over there in iTunes, or you can subscribe using the official BlackBerry podcast app. And if you have something else that you listen to podcasts on, just add our RSS feed. It's just as easy as copying and pasting. You don't want to go through that much trouble? Well, perhaps you're on the old Facebook, in which case you can tell a friend to tell a friend to look us up and tell them to hit that like button for us over at thatcsaguy.podomatic.com. It's about ups and downs. Life is all about its different peaks and valleys, and for me, it seems like the valleys have been outnumbering the peaks this week. I mean, I'd love to tell you about the trip I took to the old neighborhood to go get a screwdriver. It was, you know, it was all right. But really, that's the only positive thing that happened to me this week. A trip back to the neighborhood and the strip mall I grew up in. Because really, I've got nothing in the tank right now. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I do not remember a thing that happened to me last night. I mean, there are 3 points from last night to this morning that I remember, and that's saying something when you're the guy who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do any drugs. I remember it was around 7:40 something when the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing some hockey team from God knows where, and the Toronto Raptors were blowing a lead to a team that we should be better than. Next thing I know, it was like I blinked, and all of a sudden it was like 10:45, and I remember asking myself where the last 3 hours of my life had gone. And then, it was as if I blinked again, and I was waking up at 7-something in the morning. And I had no idea how I got into my bed, or how I got under the covers. My mind was so blown, and I'm still not really sure what was wrong with me. Maybe sleep deprivation is catching up with me. That, ladies and gentlemen, would be one of the valleys. Now you're probably asking yourself, alright, well tell a story about a peak. Well, yeah. Truth be told, I was so out of it over the last few days that I didn't even know I had to do a podcast until a few hours ago. And I told myself I wasn't even really going to do one unless, you know, maybe by some lucky chance somebody actually came and asked for the episode that would come up. And wouldn't you know it, today of all days would be the day I started seeing comments in my inbox. So thanks to you guys for keeping the show going. I'm gonna keep doing it because it's something to kill time, man. And if it's helping you guys kill time, then I will help kill time with you. Because I'm a team player and I play for the team, I guess. Again, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm really tired. And I think there may be, like, I think someone drugged me, to be honest with you. I don't know where this is gonna go, but I can't wait to find out. Shout out to Michelle for letting me use her computer again. This episode is going to be us wrapping up the Klosterman Q&A session. So starting from question 13, let's do it. Every person you've ever dated is invited to a banquet where you are the guest of honor. No one else is there except you, your former lovers, and the caterers. After the meal, you have to give a 15-minute speech to everyone in the room. What do you talk about? Ideally, by the time this crazy, crazy fictional situation happens, I have another female in my life who I can just go up there and brag about for 15 minutes. You know, the perfect situation for me would just be go up there, try to get everyone on my side about how this new woman lights up my life with a smirk. But who am I kidding? All those women in that room would probably hate me and pelt me with vegetables. So, I don't know, maybe I'll just crack jokes? Or who knows? I'm definitely not writing a speech for it. So I'm probably just gonna go up there and do what I do on this podcast and shoot from the hip, and whatever happens, happens. I just hope I can make it to my car in the parking lot before I'm attacked, because believe you me, I'm sure there'd be at least one of them who wouldn't mind chopping me in the throat. Question 14. For reasons that can't be explained, cats all of a sudden read at a 12th grade level. They can't talk and they can't write, but they can silently read and understand words. Many cats love this new skill because they have something to do all day while they chill and lay around the house. However, a few cats get depressed because reading forces them to realize the limitations of their own existence. This being the case, do you think the average cat would enjoy Garfield comics? Or would cats find this cartoon to be degrading and insulting to their culture? Does the average cat have a sense of humor? I mean, I have this one cat that lives in my backyard, and it doesn't seem to take well to jokes. I think it's crazy, but that's neither here nor there. Now, we already know these cats can't express themselves, so I don't know if they'd find it degrading, but since they can understand things and they can, you know, they have the capacity to become depressed, I would probably say that they're smart enough to take a joke. Sure, some of them would be offended, but I think the majority of them would find it, you know, comical. It's a comic. It's supposed to be funny. I'm willing to say they'll understand it. I mean, Garfield's a cat who lives with a dog, and he's much smarter than the dog. So if they don't enjoy the humor there, at least they can, you know, enjoy the fact that this comic is breaking barriers between races and species, you know? Plus, who doesn't love a cat that eats lasagna? Actually, probably people in Quebec, because I know how they feel about things being overly Italian, but it's neither here nor there. Question 15. You have a brain tumor. There's no discomfort at this moment, but the tumor will definitely kill you in 6 months. However, your life can and will be saved by an operation, the only downside of which is that there will be a brutal incision into the frontal lobe of your brain. After the surgery, you will have significantly less intelligence. You'll still be a normally functioning adult, but you'll be less logical, and you'll have a terrible memory. Plus, you'll have reduced ability to understand complex concepts and difficult ideas. The surgery is in 2 weeks. How do you spend the next 14 days? I'm recording everything and throwing it up on youtube.com/geniusboy88. In case you didn't know, that's where we keep all the videos. I've got vlogs, moments with friends, thoughts, life lessons, weird moments where I thought I was a rapper. There's plenty of goodness there already. If I have a terrible memory after the operation, I can go back and relive and try to attempt to see what I was like. Heck, maybe I get a bunch of tattoos, you know, I go like Michael Scofield in Prison Break and just cover myself in my own personal story, you know? I would do everything I could to salvage who I am right now so that in 2 weeks I could have a chance to look back on who I was fondly, and maybe I'd lay out a map like Michael Scofield. Videos, tattoos, pictures that I could use to try to get back to who I was. Even if I couldn't hold it for a long amount of time, anything to try. Next question. Someone builds an optical portal that lets you see a vision of your own life in the future. It's basically a crystal ball that shows you a randomly selected image of what your life will be like in 20 years. You can see into the portal for 30 seconds, and when you finally do peer into the crystal, you see yourself in a living room 20 years older than you are today, and you're watching a Canadian Football League game while being extremely happy about it. You're wearing a CFL jersey, you're alone in the room, but you're happily muttering to yourself about the good old days of Canadian football. It becomes clear that for some reason you've become obsessed with Canadian football. Now, what you see in the image is static, it's absolute, you can't change destiny and the portal is never wrong. The next day, you're flipping through TV and you randomly find a preseason CFL game between the Toronto Argonauts and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Now that you know the future, are you going to watch it now? Well, full disclosure, I am a Canadian and I do own a Roughriders hat. Shout out to the family in Saskatchewan. And the Argos are my team. Shout out to the Grey Cup champions for the year 2012. We're the best in the league. More importantly, we're the best in the Eastern Division, where there's like one team that beats us every year, and how we beat them, I still don't know. Like, every year in December, my year is ruined because we always lose this game. And we pulled it out this year, and we got into the finals, which was in our own building, and we whooped some serious tail. Shout out to the Argos. But assuming I didn't already have prior knowledge of the Canadian Football League, I probably wouldn't have watched it. I mean, I was gonna love it eventually. Let me enjoy the part of my life where I could not care less about football. I mean, why rush into an obsession? I'm gonna spend all my time doing it later, so let me enjoy what I have now. 17. You're sitting in an empty bar in a town you've never visited before. You're drinking a Bacardi with a soft-spoken acquaintance you barely know. After an hour, a third person walks into the bar and sits by himself. You ask this acquaintance that you're sitting with who the new man is. Your acquaintance says, "Hey, be careful of that guy. He's a man with a past." A few minutes later, a fourth person enters the bar. He also sits alone. You ask your acquaintance who the new person is, and your acquaintance says, "Be careful of that guy, too. He's a man with no past." Which of these two people do you trust less? I would trust the guy with no past less. I mean, word to Amanda Marshall, everybody's got a story. And for you to have no past, there's probably a reason for it. I mean, who are you? An assassin? A ninja? Tupac in disguise? I don't know what your deal is. How do you have no past? If you have a past, as we all do, then I can understand it, learn it, and gain some sort of trust for you. If you have no past, and you're a grown-ass person in a bar, then I'm gonna have to look twice at you and give you the shifty eyes. Number 18, congratulations, you've just won a prize. This prize can be one of two things. You can choose either, but not both. The first option, option A if you will, is a year in Europe with a monthly allowance of $2,000. The second option is 10 minutes on the moon. Which option do you select? Pretty sure I touched upon this in the Valentine's Day extravaganza episode of this podcast. You've got to go to the moon. I mean, it's the moon. Nobody ever else gets to go to the moon. Now, sure, you can watch the Discovery Channel or whatever and learn all you can about the moon, but how many people have got to walk there? It's a priceless experience. It's, like, I can't even describe the words to explain what I think being on the moon is like. It's gotta be nothing short of amazing and awesome. Like, Europe is great. I would love to go for a year. Come on, that's Champions League finals. I could go watch bobsledding. I could probably go luge. I would love to luge. Truth be told, I really just want the suit to walk around in. But regardless, Europe is great, but the moon, the moon is the moon. Europe will be there whenever you want to be there. Unless it's Greece, in which case it may get sold. But the moon, you gotta go to the moon. Question numero 19. Your best friend is taking a nap on the floor of your living room. Suddenly you're faced with a bizarre existential problem. This friend is gonna die unless you kick them as hard as you can in the ribcage. If you don't kick them while they sleep, they will never wake up. However, you can never explain this to your friend. Oh, please let someone fall asleep on the floor in front of me. If you later inform them that you did this to save their life, they will also die from that. So, You have to kick a sleeping friend in the ribs and you can't tell them why. Since you can't tell your friend the truth, what excuse will you fabricate to explain this attack? What? Why did I kick you? Yo, here's a better question. Why are you sleeping in the middle of my living room, bro? Like I tried to yell. Were you talk? Yeah, I shook you. Like I was about to get water. You serious? You're yelling at me now? I'm the villain? I'm the villain. Just because I kicked you in the ribs as hard as I could means I'm the villain? No. I'm the victim. I would have poured water on you, but that would have been rude. Because right now, you'd be wet. What are you in, pain now? Pain goes away. Wetness lives for until you're dry. Regardless, you're welcome. Number 20. For whatever reason, two unauthorized movies are made about your life. The first is an independently released documentary, primarily comprised of interviews with people you know and bootleg footage from your actual life. Critics are describing the documentary as brutally honest and relentlessly fair. Meanwhile, a major motion picture company has produced a big-budget biopic of your life, casting major Hollywood stars as you and all your acquaintances. Though the movie is based on actual events, screenwriters have taken some liberties with the, what do you call them? Oh yes, facts. Critics are split on the artistic merits of this finalized account, but audiences love it. Which film would you be most interested in seeing? Of the two of them, I would first go see the big budget movie about my life. I mean, I would have to watch it before I sue everyone involved for taking liberties with the facts about my life. Really? You're gonna tell my story and start changing things? No. I'll take brutally honest. That's what I'm about. If you like me, you like me. Put that in the movie. If you don't like me, then damn, say it to a camera. Throw that in the movie. I'll appreciate you a whole lot more. I'm not the type of person who wants to have audiences love me. I am what I am. You can like it or love it. I think that's 50 Cent, but I digress. Take quotes from people I love. Take quotes from people I could care less about. Throw them all in the movie. Take all the bootleg footage you want. But I want a true representation of me to be what's in front of an audience. A paying crowd. If it's not me, if you're taking liberties and changing stuff, then it isn't me. And I'm not interested in seeing that in front of people. Question 21. Imagine you could go back to the age of 5 and relive the rest of your life knowing everything that you know now. You will re-experience your entire adolescence with both the cognitive ability of an adult and the memories of everything you've learned from having lived your life previously. Would you lose your virginity earlier or later than you did the first time around? And by how many years? Time out. I got family listening to this show, man. Like, this is, like, true story. I walked in on my dad listening to the episode with me and Cam one day, and he had this look on his face, and I couldn't tell if it was, oh, man, these guys are so funny, or, oh, man, these guys are really pathetic. I don't know. I mean, he said we were good, but he's a parent. He's supposed to support things like this. But, regardless, I know the answer is supposed to be something like, oh, I wouldn't change anything because I like where I am in life. But in this type of question, you gotta take a stance. And I ain't gonna chicken out. This is my show. I break the rules. I'm a rebel. I'm stalling for time in hopes that y'all will forget that I have to answer a question that is very personal. If I did go back in time knowing what I know now and I relived high school, things would definitely go differently. Because what you need to understand is that I did not know how to talk to women in that 4-year period. Like, at all. You could sit me beside a girl and I wouldn't say anything. Like, it was bad. I was mute. I was like Raj on Big Bang Theory. You know that show that I don't like? Yeah, that was pretty much me. I didn't figure out how to talk to women until like grade 11. You know what it was? I got my iPod. And it turns out women really like music. So when I got it and I realized I could have hundreds of songs stored in my pocket, I loaded up on everything that I knew girls liked. So like, there was this one girl who I didn't have anything to talk about. She sat beside me in like English. And like, I knew she liked reggaeton. So it was one day I walked into class like super casually and I started like drumming this beat on my desk. And she looks over at me and she notices I'm wearing my headphones. She's like, oh, what do you listen to? I go, oh, you know, it's nothing. I'm just bumping that Daddy Yankee, you know? And she's like, word? You listen to reggaeton? And I'm like, damn straight. Not that I understand a lick of Spanish, but, you know, dude, it worked. This is how I made friends with people. You got to use music. And I promise I wasn't trying to be douchebaggy, because Lord knows, after I can get a girl to look at me, I don't know what to do after that. So take what you will from that story. There were girls in high school who I knew liked me, and I didn't know what to do with that information. Like, I could get the, you know, the tap on the shoulder and like, hey, how you doing in the hallway? Like, all I had was, oh yeah, hey, what's up? And then I would just go to class like that. Like, I had no game. Like, I still have no game, but I was worse, if you can believe it, back then. And there's a good chance things would go differently were I put in that situation knowing what I know now. Would I change certain dates of certain events that this question wanted to know about? Oh, shoot, that's mad staticky. Oh, next question. The penultimate question, number 22. You work in an office. Pretty much, you're popular with all of your coworkers. However, you discover that there are two rumors going around the office, and both of them involve you. The first is that you got drunk at the office holiday party and had sex with one of your married coworkers. This rumor is completely true, but most people don't believe it. The second rumor is that you've been stealing hundreds of dollars worth of office supplies and then selling them to cover a gambling debt. This rumor, however, is completely false, but virtually everyone believes it. Which of these two rumors is most troubling to you? To me, it's the first one, for a variety of reasons. I mean, look at the second one. We already know that's completely false, so I pay it no mind. If it's false, it's false. It's just out there in the atmosphere, and it doesn't apply to me. I can't control what people gossip and what people think. The first one, though, if it's true, concerns me for a wide array of reasons. One, I'm pretty sure in the last question, I admitted to having no game with women. All of a sudden, I could pull married women? What is going on in the world? Next, I don't even drink. How did I get drunk at the office holiday party? Doesn't make sense to me. And why would I fall for the office gossip when I'm drunk? I mean, who wants a girl with a big... Never mind. Comment rescinded. I'm not the type of guy who's gonna take a next man's chick, especially when I'm trying to make my own fictional girlfriend into a reality. It's not me. I don't know why I would do that. So the first one has me questioning a lot of things for sure. 23, let's wrap this up and bring it home. Consider this possibility. A, think about the late TV star John Ritter. B, now pretend John Ritter had never become famous. Pretend he was never affected by the trappings of fame and try to imagine what his personality would have been like. C, now imagine that this person, the unfamous John Ritter, is a character in a situation comedy. D, now you're also a character in this sitcom and the unfamous John Ritter character is your sitcom father. E, however, this sitcom is actually your real life. In other words, you are living inside a sitcom. Everything about your life is a construction, featuring the unfamous John Ritter playing himself in the role of your TV father. But this is not a sitcom. This is your real life. How would you feel about this? The way I feel about this situation is the way I felt at the end of Inception. What? Like, what an oddly worded question. Basically, unfamous John Ritter is my father, and everything I know about John Ritter doesn't apply. No offense to unfamous John Ritter, but I like my dad. He's a good guy. He's listened to this podcast. I gotta give him credit for that. What do I know about unfamous John Ritter? Other than his name, nothing, so I don't see a reason I would take him over the father I have now. So, I would like to stick with my own, if that's a possibility. Plus, if you know my dad, you know the world would be a better place if that guy was a television star. I mean, he should have a podcast. Like, the things that come out of that man's mouth, brilliant. Just brilliant. I am nothing compared to that guy. I want him, not unfamous John Ritter. Sorry, bro. Hashtag rest in peace. And that's it. There you have it. Klosterman's 23 questions from Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. I hope you enjoyed them. I hope now you know me. I hope now you understand the nuances and subtleties of my mind. Or at the very least, I hope I took a few minutes off your commute or time in the gym or wherever you use this podcast as a source of entertainment. Before we go, you guys know the drill. I've got plugs that I'm going to throw your way, so duck, watch your heads, be careful, kids. Really, wear a helmet. It's not safe out there. You can check me out on YouTube.com under the name GeniusBoy88. You can find me on Twitter at ThatCSAGuy. And don't forget to check out the blog, thatcsaguy.blogspot.ca. Remember to leave a comment and a rating over in the world-famous iTunes Store. And feel free to subscribe in iTunes as well as the BlackBerry podcast app and anywhere they let you add an RSS feed. If you want this show, you can get it. All you gotta do is try. That wraps it up from here. You have been listening to the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. And remember, lying on a fake beach, you'll never get a tan. Thanks, Marina and the Diamonds.